Well, let's go to some word right now. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Psalms 25. It's good to see everyone with us this morning. Good to see former Bishop and Miss Kathy with us this morning. And Miss Kathy's mom is with us today. And it's so good to have you all. And they're now Georgia folks. I think he has become a Georgia Bulldogs fan, is what I'm hearing. And, you know, I don't know if that's... He's smiling at me a little bit back there. That's probably not true. We know that, don't we? Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5. The psalmist penned, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I want to really place emphasis on verse 5, the first part of verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me. I want to preach to you for the next few minutes with just a thought in mind of being priceless. Being priceless. I intentionally used a violin and some artwork in the background because those are things that we consider or considered in the world priceless in so many ways. I don't own anything like that I've ever really considered priceless. There's things that have been of great value in my life. I still have things of great value in my life, but probably nothing that's priceless. When I met Sarah many years ago now, doesn't seem like we've been together too many years, but it's now approaching 20 years. I was in the car business, body shop in the car business, and there was lots of times I'd sell everything I had, and I would have to borrow a vehicle to drive. She'd say, "You'd sell anything, wouldn't you?" I'd say, "Not you, baby. Not you, not you, not you. I'll hold on to you, you know." But I have been known to sell things that I later would regret, but I never necessarily held anything priceless. But as we read the psalm and we begin to think about guide me in your truth and teach me, it makes me think about discipline and discipleship. In particular, it makes me think about being teachable. And that's where I'm going with being priceless. Discipline is not merely a means of correction. Oftentimes, discipline is sort of a dirty word to us. It's a resisted word. We don't like the thoughts of that word, discipline. It's not merely correction, though, but includes the ability to conform to a lifestyle or a learned lifestyle, a new word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, we find that discipline comes to us by the Word of God. We're taught by the Word of God. We come into discipline, spiritual discipline, through and by the Word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 26, we find that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. That's discipline. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truths. The Holy Spirit brings us discipline. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we even find there that we can teach one another. Accountability. And we can learn from one another. It's great when we can learn from one another. I often have said that sometimes, you know, it's good. It's not necessarily good for somebody to see them go through a difficult season of life. But as I've gone through difficult seasons of life with people, as I've walked with them through those difficult seasons, oftentimes I've been able to learn from their mistakes, and hopefully learn in a matter that I won't make that same mistake. You see, so we can learn from the Word, we can learn by the Spirit, and we can learn by doing life together, as we say here at Voice of Praise. Discipleship indicates, in the process of learning, that we have to have a teachable spirit. We have to have a teachable spirit. My mom used to, I love my mom. I was her favorite child. You know, I was the youngest of just the two of us, and I was the favorite child. And apparently I was the best one, because after me she had no more, so she had reached the ultimate goal, you know. But my mom had little phrases and things she would just, and sometimes she would use them on me, by the way. And she'd say, sometimes she would look at me, she said, "You're the most long-headed young'un I ever seen in my life." My mom was short like Sarah and not that I'm tall, but I was taller than her. And she would shake that finger. She said, "You're the most long-headed young'un I ever saw in my life." Meaning that she was having a difficult time teaching me. And I was struggling to follow instruction, if you would. But in order to learn, we must have a teachable spirit. And when we're long-headed, as my mom said, or maybe your mom used the word hard-headed, that comes under the category of people that are being instructed but never able to learn. You know, there are people like that in the world. Not that any of us in this room would ever be that way, but there's people that we have received a lot of instruction. We're continually in life, we're receiving instruction in some form, fashion, or the other. Through the Word of God, we're given instruction. Through the Spirit of God, we're given instruction. Through our accountability one to another, we're given instruction. But are we learning? The best of us experience moments in our life or seasons in our life where we fail to learn from the instruction that we've been given. That's when it's difficult. That's when it's hard. You know, when we're not learning and taking the opportunity to learn. The biblical description of someone that is non-teachable is summarized in one word, or actually I'll use two words, a fool. Now, growing up, and I still like these TV shows, by the way. We watch old TV. Sarah and I, other than NCIS, we don't watch a lot of new TV. We watch Hogan's Hero and All in the Family, and we watch Westerns. The Virginian has been a popular one of late. And I like watching we like old TV. Three Stooges, all that stuff. But actually I'll give you two of my favorite shows. One of them was Sanford and Son. Okay? And as much as I liked Fred and Lamont, probably my favorite character, and younger folks, I hope I don't leave you out on this. I'm probably am. But if you just go on YouTube, watch some old episodes of Sanford and Son, okay? But one of my favorite characters on Sanford and Son was Aunt Esther. And Aunt Esther would look at Fred, her brother-in-law, and she would look at him and she would say, "You fish-eyed fool. You old fool." And then there was another TV program for you younger ones. You could YouTube it. You can watch it. There was a TV show that came on, probably in the 80s, maybe into the 90s, and it was called The A-Team. And on the A-Team, there was this big robust guy. His name was B.A. Baracus. And B.A. was a wrestler. And he wore all this gold jewelry. And he had all these bulging muscles. And he would look at people, especially his partner in the A-Team, Murdoch. And he would say, "You fool! You fool! You a fool!" I really developed a bad habit of calling people fools because I thought it was cute. Until my late wife pointed out to me the scripture at one point in time that says he that calls his brother a fool is in danger of hell fire. And I realized the seriousness in scripture of being called a fool. There's actually 69 different occurrences in scripture that God refers to a people or a person being a fool or being foolish. And all of them indicate someone that has refused learning. It doesn't mean that instruction hasn't come. It just means we haven't learned from the instruction. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 2 says, "A fool finds no pleasure in learning, but delights in airing his own opinion." Some of y'all just thought about somebody when I read that scripture. But I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about us. The ancient interpretation of fool was one who wants to operate apart from the wisdom of Yahweh. It's operating apart from the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So there's great danger in being unteachable. Twice the psalmist said in his heart, the fool has said, there is no God. Being foolish is so dangerous, as I've already said, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, we find that a fool constitutes the wrath of God. Being unteachable, not able to learn, doesn't mean that you won't receive instruction, but it means not adhering or not absorbing that instruction can be detrimental to us as believers. So how do we define a teachable spirit? Being teachable means that you and I realize that our knowledge is incomplete. I must totally understand and realize that I don't have all the answers. I must come to that conclusion about myself that I could possibly be wrong at times. Right, Miss Sarah? When we were first married, she used to tell me, she said, you're always right. Then she figured out she was the one that was wrong because I'm not always right. So we find ourselves in the realization of, I have to realize my knowledge is incomplete. I don't know everything there is to know. And certainly there's people in this room more intelligent than I am. And I have to realize even in my decision making, even in my opinions, even in my process of thinking, sometimes, occasionally, though it may be rare, no, not really, I'm wrong. And I need the instruction of the Lord. I need the accountability of my brothers and sisters that make up the body of Christ. I need the Holy Spirit speaking into my heart and teaching me and guiding me in the pathways that I should take. And a teachable spirit means that I realize that I'm inferior when it comes to the knowledge of God especially and in many other aspects of life. A teachable spirit is one that is a follower of truth and not just a debater of positions, traditions, and opinions. You know, we had a great life group. Our life group was a great conversation this morning. Again, I'll plug life groups. Come to a life group sometime. Might be one of the greatest discipleship efforts that we do at Voice of Praise. Much to be learned. Much does hopefully get learned in life groups. I think it does. But in the reality of things, and when we begin to think about it, when I look at the world today, and we know that here in the Western culture, especially here in the United States, have you ever known of such a time when so many people are arguing, bickering, going back and forth with one another? It's no longer religious or religion issues, it's political issues, social issues. It goes on and on and on, all of the debate. If you want an argument, all you have to do is put a post up on social media and bam, you can find you want in a heartbeat. Okay? And I'm worried a bit. And I know the Bible says you're not supposed to worry because you won't gain one inch to your statue. Well, you can obviously tell I'm not a big worrier. But the reality of it is I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried that us as the church, if we're not careful, we can be so entrapped into the debating and arguing and trying to convince everyone that we're right, rather than just having faith in God and understanding and upholding the Word of God, that we may have got distracted from the mission God has called us to be on. So we find ourselves as if we're going to be teachers or teachable, that we're followers of the truth. It's not about our Christian experience. Our witness is not about debaters of positions, traditions, or opinions. Are you saying we shouldn't stand for the Word of God, Pastor? No, that's not what I'm saying. But don't get caught up in worthless debating and arguing over things that don't really matter. Most of you all know I'm a bluegrass guy. I like bluegrass music. And there's a song that a group put out a number of years ago, and it's a secular song. But in the words of this song, it says, the song is about evaluating or consider the argument you're in with your wife, because a $2 problem can cause a $4 fight, and you can end up staying up the rest of the night. Sometimes you and I get caught up in debating. Sometimes you and I get caught up, and I include myself. Sometimes we can get caught up in those things that are insignificant. We can end up in a $4 fight over $2, sometimes less than that. But God is calling us. He's calling us to be teachable. There's practical evidence of a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is a spirit that will say, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. I want to understand what you're teaching me. I want to understand. I want to know how you see it. I want to know how you perceive it. You know, we used to sing an old song in the church years ago. It says, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Are we seeking, are we endeavoring to know more about the Lord? I believe in being a student of Scripture. I believe in being, I still believe, whether you want to call it Sunday school, life groups, small groups, whatever you want to call it, I still believe in coming together underneath the voice of someone that is expounding the Word of God. I believe in surrounding myself with people that are wiser than me. You know, I go to these jam sessions and play music. I went to one the other night. I was at one and it was good. It was all right. You know, it was fine. But you know, there's certain jam sessions that I'll go to on somewhat of a regular basis. And this is one thing I read about jam sessions a while back. It says, if you are the best musician in a jam session, you're probably in the wrong jam session, because you're really not learning anything from it. Would you agree with that, Joey? Yeah. Yeah. Joey, great musician. So, if I'm the best at whatever I do, and I have to be the best at whatever I'm doing, I'm probably not learning. I'm probably not being taught. I'm probably, maybe, don't even possess a teachable spirit. Another question in evidences of teachable spirit is, what could I do differently? What can I do differently in my life? What do you suggest? What can I do? What can I do to grow in my faith? What can I do to grow in my experience with God? What can I do to mature in my walk? And then we must ask ourselves the question, as we do self-evaluation, what am I doing? What am I doing to impart to somebody else? Now, if you came and asked me for whatever, if you came and you asked me for some tools out of my toolbox, I got two big toolboxes full of tools, okay? Hardly ever use them anymore, but I've got them. If you came and you said, Pastor, I need to borrow a 9/16 socket and three-eighths ratchet with a 12-inch extension, I said, man, I can fix you up. I got you taken care of. Here it is. But if you came up to me and you said, Pastor, I need something really off the wall. You know, I need, you know, Pastor, I got a band concert coming up and I need to borrow a flute. I can't help you. I can't help you. You know why? Because it's outside of my resource. It's outside my ability. It's outside what I have. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But my point is this. What do you have? What do you and I have? What have we received in learning, in teaching, that we can give away to somebody else? If you say, I don't have anything that I'm really to give to anybody, then you have a need of being taught. And you need a teachable spirit. Evidence of a teachable spirit is found when we're able to admit that we were wrong. Hello. When we're able to admit that we don't know something. Being teachable means this. I truly believe this. Being teachable actually means that I realize that God isn't finished with me yet. I am a work in progress if you haven't detected that yet. And if we are teachable, all of us will realize that we are still works in progress. And realizing that I'm a work in progress, I offer myself to God in each and every circumstance that I find my life in, and I ask God in every circumstance to be taught and shaped more into the image of Christ. Because I don't know everything yet. God, teach me. I was counting up. Sometimes I forget. You know, when you get old, you forget to remember, okay? And I was counting up. Somebody was asking me the other day, and I took off my shoes, and I had my hands in front of me, and I counted all 10 fingers and all 12 toes, you all have 12 toes, right? And counting up a number of years, and I realized that coming up in January of this year, well, I'll be celebrating 36 years since I've preached my first gospel message. And I preached on the stoning of Stephen. I remember it very well. Didn't know a thing in the world I was talking about. Didn't take me but about 15 minutes, and I didn't say much of anything in that, but I did what I knew the Lord was calling me to do. But even in 36 years, which is longer than many of you are old in this room this morning, I still realize I have not arrived yet. I don't know everything yet. I still need the wisdom and the knowledge of God. I still need to be taught every single day of my life. And God, help me if I get to live 10 more years, if He tarries His coming, if I get to live 20 more years, which will be 85 years old, be close, you know, to the same age as Jerry over there, or something like that. Then when I get to be that, oh, Lord, I still want to be teachable. I still want to learn what You're teaching me in word and in life. So being teachable means that I believe that God is not finished with me yet. I don't care how old you are. God is not through with you yet. In every circumstance of life, God, I want You to teach me that I may offer myself more unto You. Being teachable means that we desire more of the mind of Christ and more of the life of Christ within us. Being teachable means, God, here I am, send me. Being teachable says, God, I'm not comfortable in my own knowledge. I'm not confident that I have all the right answers. God, I need Your wisdom. I need Your knowledge. And then there's the rewards of a teachable spirit. The rewards of a teachable spirit are very liberating. A teachable spirit frees us from the overwhelming burden of having to always be right. A teachable spirit allows us to be liberated or set free from the overwhelming burden of always having an answer. You know, it took me a long time in ministry to learn. Sometimes people come to me and ask questions. Sometimes people will come to me and seek advice, or they'll ask wisdom. And there's many times that I didn't have it. There's many times now that I still lack it in certain, whatever the situation may be. But I felt I was obligated because I was the pastor. I felt obligated that I had to have an answer and word of wisdom for every situation. But you know what? It comes along, I think, with maturity. Don't be judging me at that word mature. Okay. But I realized at some point in time that I'm not required to have all of the answers. I'm not required to have all of the knowledge. Certainly I hope and I think, and I'm pretty confident I've grown in wisdom and understanding of many things in these years of ministry. But the one thing that I realize is I don't have all the answers, but I know the one that does have the answers. And the one that has the answers will minister to you and minister to myself in our times that we lack knowledge, that we lack wisdom, that we don't. But what he asks us to do is to have a teachable spirit. So for me to have a teachable spirit is liberating. It's setting me free from feeling the burden that I've got to be able to answer all of your questions. Not that I don't want to, not that I don't want to help you along life's way, but the same goes for you. God's not called you to have an answer for everybody's problem. God's not called you to have answers for everything in life that you're doing, everything in life that you're experiencing. But what he is calling us to have is a teachable spirit. And the second reward of a teachable spirit is a teachable spirit brings us into the heart of God. A teachable spirit brings us into the heart of God. Now we know David was a man, the Bible declares that David was a man after God's own heart. We know David had issues in life, right? We know that he had problems. We know he had oppression. We know he was coming under attack. And David didn't always understand all things. No more. And here of late, it seems like the subject of Job has come up so much in the recent weeks around Voice of Praise. But these people had no understanding. They didn't realize what was going on necessarily in their life. Lord, make me teachable. Make me teachable. You may not know what's happening in your life. You may not understand it. You may be questioning, God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But I'm challenging you this morning that you seek the Lord and say, God, teach me in this moment, in this season of life that I'm in right now. Teach me the lessons that you want me to learn. Teach me by your word. Teach me by your spirit. Teach me from my brothers and my sisters in Christ. God, teach me. I want to be more like you, God. And in the moment that I'm in, I want you to use it to teach me. The third reward of a teachable spirit is it equips us to carry out kingdom purpose. You see, Latricia was asking me next Sunday's Mission Sunday, and it's our global outreach kickoff for the year, and that runs, you know, throughout into the fall of the year. And she was asking me about missions. Of course, she's our missions director. And we think of missionaries as people that go. And truly they are. But do you realize every single one of you in this room this morning, every single person is watching by YouTube or Facebook live stream, every single person in this room, we're on a mission. We have a mission before us. And our mission is really not just to get to heaven, to be honest with you. Sometimes that is all our Christian experience is. It's just to get to heaven. Well, I want to go as much as any of the rest of you all, okay? But my mission is not just getting from point A to point B and to get to heaven. My mission is to carry the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to see the kingdom of God come forth. And even in the scripture, we're told that the gates of hell cannot stop the kingdom of God from going forth. But God wants it to go forth through you and myself. As willing vessels, willing to be taught, willing to be teachable, willing to learn and to carry forth the kingdom purpose. And the kingdom purpose is that the gospel be preached into all the world. And we think about, I read the other day that it's estimated by the end of 2026, China would have more Christians than any other nation on the face of the earth. That's not in percentage, that's in head count, that's in noses. And how amazing is that? How amazing is that? That's totally amazing. Exceeding the United States. But the world that's before us is not on the other side. It starts right in your neighborhood. Whether you live on New Hope Road or Lorton Lick Road, or you live on Cole Heritage Parkway, or whatever other street you may live on, that mission happens right in front of you. We sang that song the praise team did this morning about, you know, the blessings of the Lord unto the generations, unto my children and my children's children. Listen, our mission is right before us. Our mission is right in our own home. And when we yield ourselves over to the Lord and we say, God, make me teachable. Let me learn from the experiences that I'm going through. Some of them may be even unpleasant. Let me learn through the experience that I have right now. Teach me by your word. Teach me by your Holy Spirit. And let me be taught by my peers and those that are gathered around me. So, what is the worth of a teachable spirit? A teachable spirit is priceless. Where's my school teachers at in the room this morning? School teachers, do y'all still have modeling clay in school? Y'all still do that? You used to get that green stick of clay. I don't know what you get now. But we used to get that little box and got that green, and I know, okay, listen, okay, I'm going back 55 years, okay? But a little bit longer than that probably, almost 60 years. But you used to get that little green stick of modeling clay and, you know, man, I just despise some of those kids I went to school with. They could take that clay and they could make stuff and you know, you could tell what it was. Then I remember that little boy that ate his modeling clay, Mikey. Mikey ate his modeling clay. Thank God it was non-toxic. And I can remember trying to make little dogs, you know, because I love dogs, you know. I remember trying to model and shape, make little dogs and make cars and try to form and shape things. And mine never came out as good as those kids that I just, you know, they're so talented. But you know what? I'd take that clay. If I didn't like my little dog and my little car I had made and whatever else, and what I loved doing was spreading it out on a table and then taking a penny or something out of my pocket and sticking it down in it, you know, and putting the inscription in it. But regardless of what I tried to make, it usually didn't look very good. And I could ball it up in a big old little ball again. And I got to start all over and make something new. I was learning every time I balled that clay back up. It was another learning experience for me. God is wanting to teach us. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, He's wanting to teach you. He's wanting to show you His glory. He's wanting to reveal Himself unto you. You know, we used to preach, and I remember those days very well. They look at somebody and said, if you don't quit that drinking, smoking, cussing, stealing, cheating on your wife, you're going to hell. And all those things, though we don't condone any of those things, but the reality of it is, could it possibly be more that you're resisting God? You don't have a teachable spirit. You've not submitted yourself unto the Lord. That's why you're headed towards hell. God's wanting to teach us. He's wanting to show us. He's wanting to lead us in the pathways of righteousness. Priceless is the worth of a teachable spirit. And when you and I allow ourselves to be taught by the Word and by the Spirit, we have become priceless in His sight. Priceless in His sight. Worth more than a violin or a painting. Some of you all may have heard the story about the auction that occurred, and this auction as it occurred, there was an old, you know, for me, I call them fiddles, but there was a violin that was being sold at auction, and it was, the strings were all loose on it, and the bridge was out of place, and it looked all tattered, the bow, the hairs in the bow were loose, and the auctioneer held it up, and he tried to get a bid here, bid there, bid here, bid there. He couldn't get a bid. So finally, somebody said, "I'll give you $5 for that old fiddle," and then it goes from there. And then suddenly a man walked up from the back of the auction house, and he tightens the strings on that violin, and he adjusts the bridge. He tightened the bow, spread some rosin down the bow, and he began to play sweet melodies on that violin. As the bidding continued, somebody said, "I'll give $1,000. Oh, I'll give $1,500. I'll give $2,000. And the bidding continued to go and go and go into close to $100,000. And what was the difference? The difference was the touch of the master violinist's hand. Tightening the strings, adjusting the bridge, setting the bow, and suddenly everything was different. When we can come to that place, humble in our spirit, and say, "Lord, teach me," He will make us priceless, just like that violin. I don't ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.